And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 17, 1961, about 1,500 CIA-trained Cuban exiles launched a disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. They were trying to topple Fidel Castro. His forces crushed the incursion by the third day. Today in 1521, Martin Luther went before the Diet of Worms. He faced charges stemming from his religious writings, "The just shall live by faith." Luther was later declared an outlaw by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. Today in 1964, Ford Motor Company unveiled the Mustang at the New York World's Fair. That car was wildly successful, as I think most all of us know. And it was interesting during that time. I remember the Ford Mustang. I liked it. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford a Corvette either, but I liked both. But I used to look at them. And I remember kind of following the news on the Mustang, and there were at least four or five people at that time claiming they had designed the Mustang, or they had led the crew that designed the Mustang. And I was thinking, you know, that's probably the only child, quote unquote, that was ever born with that had five fathers or six fathers. But it was interesting how everybody was jumping on the bandwagon and said, oh yeah, I helped design that, or I came up with the idea, and so on and so forth. But the Mustang was a winner for sure. Probably still is. I don't know. I haven't followed Ford Mustangs at all. I don't know if they're still making them or not. I suppose they are. But today in 1969, a jury in Los Angeles convicted Sirhan Sirhan of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Today in 1970, Apollo 13 astronauts, James Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swigert, they splashed down safely in the Pacific 4 days after a ruptured oxygen tank crippled their spacecraft. It was en route to the moon. Today in 1973, Federal Express, we now know it as FedEx, it began operations. 14 airplanes carrying 186 packages. Man, they could have carried those in the cockpit, I would imagine. But 14 planes carrying 186 packages took off from Memphis International Airport. They were bound for 25 U.S. cities. I would suggest they probably did not make a profit the first day with those 186 packages they had in their 14 airplanes delivering to 25 U.S. cities. But I would also suspect they're making back the losses pretty handsomely now. Today in 1991, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 3,000 for the first time. It ended the day at 3,004.46. Today, I don't follow it that closely, but it pops up on my screen a lot. I think it was 37,735 today, something like that, earlier this morning. It's changing all the time. Interesting how the Dow Jones has changed from 1991 to today, from 3,000, just over 3,000, to 37,735 or whatever. The Bible says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." The enemy is coming in like a flood on many fronts today, in our culture in particular, against individuals in general. The Lord will respond to what we're seeing happen to our beloved country. A people cannot abuse the teachings of the word of the Lord in the ways that we're doing now in America and not see and experience consequences. I firmly believe that, because that is consistent with God's word and the way that God has dealt with people from the beginning in Genesis right on through into the New Testament. And there is that sense in the New Testament that Christ died once and for all for our sins. But collectively, the Bible is clear that God will judge the nations. There is that coming judgment. But in the process of turning away from God and being insensitive or even hostile toward His word, there are many, many, many consequences in doing that. We started out in bondage to a king in this country. We colonized. We became organized. We prayed, desperately prayed. We created two documents that have stood the test of time, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and many other documents. But we took those steps with a very clear understanding that it was God who builds the house. And if they build the house without God, they that labor, labor in vain. And countries throughout history have labored in vain. But America was that bright light, that city on a hill, who decided to do it a different way. And in doing so, we embraced the truth of God's word and embraced the God of the universe. Whether or not they were truly Christians, they embraced that God. And even we have said publicly, one nation under God. So here we are today in a state of confusion. We can't even apparently elect officials without fraud. I know it's gotten to the point now in America where if you talk about the fact that there could have been wrongdoing or an integrity breach in the 2020 election, they're going to show up at your door and arrest you. I mean, that's pretty much where we are. If you have a voice that can be heard in a substantial way, if you pray at an abortion clinic because you believe in life, they'll drag you out at 6 o'clock in the morning in front of your wife and six or seven kids. You remember the story. We talked about it here, and it was all over the news later. There has been a backsliding in America. And now it's revealing itself in the election franchise. And without true elections, this country cannot sustain itself and will not sustain itself. And it is the left that has picked up the banner, and they're holding it right next to the transgender banner that our president runs all over the country and the world talking about. And they're holding this banner, save democracy. Save democracy means get rid of Trump. Because we, the left, will save democracy. The irony of all of that is it is the left that's destroying democracy day by day by day, word by word, action by action. They're undermining the very foundations of this nation. I want to talk to you a little bit today about voting and integrity. There's a brand new poll out yesterday, and it will be talked about because it's in, I saw it mentioned in several news stories today, like network, like ABC and CBS and those guys. So they're talking a little bit about it. But I wanted to talk about it today from a biblical perspective. This new poll says 28% would vote illegally to win 2024 presidential election. Well, that must be the Democrats. No, unfortunately, it isn't. It's everybody, regardless of what party affiliation you have. 28% would vote illegally to win the 2024 presidential election. I understand the urgency of winning that election. Believe me, you know I do. But are we willing to lay down our beliefs to illegally do, because are we justifying it by saying, well, the other side is doing it? They are. There was many incidents of highly irregular activities during the last election, presidential election. But according to this poll conducted by Rasmussen, approximately 44 million Americans would vote illegally in the 2024 election, quote, to prevent the other side from winning. Heartland Institute, they're conservative and free market, and they paid for this study. And so it's a Rasmussen Heartland Study Institute. It was based on our latest poll. 28% of all voters say they would engage in at least one kind of illegal voting practice to help their preferred candidate, either President Joe Biden or former President Donald Trump, win the 2024 election. So let's take a closer look at that this morning. In late 2023, the Heartland Institute released a poll showing that in the 2020 general election, more than 1 in 5 mail-in voters admitted to voting illegally. 1 in 5. Unfortunately, widespread illegal voting in presidential elections seems to be kind of the new norm, the new normal in America. At least according to this poll, and it was extensive. I mean, it's not just a overnight telephone poll kind of thing. I mean, it's in depth. They say, based on our latest poll, 28% of all voters say they would engage in at least one kind of illegal voting practice in order to help their preferred candidate, either Biden or Trump, win the 2024 election. Examples of illegal voting scenarios that voters say they would engage in include voting in multiple states, destroying mail-in ballots or of friends or family members, paying or offering rewards to fellow voters, deliberately providing incorrect information about the place, time, or date associated with casting a ballot, and or altering candidate selections on mail-in ballots. Although self-identified Democrat voters are slightly more likely to engage in illegal voting, according to this polling, to ensure that Biden would win, the number of self-identified Republican voters who would also engage in illegal voting to guarantee a Trump win is concerning. At least it is to me, and I think it would be to all of us who are biblical Christians. Not because we are holier than the others, it's just because we are more determined to live according to God's word in the culture. But this is a major problem, clearly. It does not bode well for the future of election integrity in the United States. And all of this shutting down people and silencing people if they raise any questions about the integrity of our voting system is just, it is at best, it's an uninformed action on the part of people in power. And at worst, and I believe it is at worst, it is an attempt to silence anyone who even raises the possibility that there could be skullduggery going on, as my dad used to say, in the voting franchise. This current condition in our country, it reminds me of one of Israel's darkest times. The Bible described those times as follows. It said, the Bible says in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The king there represents, you know, justice and leadership and so on. We're not voting for a king here. We're living for the king in our daily lives, and we anticipate his soon return. But they're talking about days of chaos, the Bible is, in Judges 21. They're talking about days of chaos, some of the darkest times in the history of Israel. The Heartland Institute has prepared a set of policy solutions that states can undertake to reduce the number of illegal votes in the future. I don't often do this, but I wrote in the article that I write every day, I included today, and it's on our website, Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.us. You can go to it. If you go today, that'll be the first thing you see come up, is an article that we published today. And there's a link there to what the Heartland Institute has created as suggestions or a sort of a framework of things that can be done by legislators in your state. And so if you go to that, if you get that, if you would, forward that to your legislators, tell them to take a look at it. I mean, they have done nothing about this. States, not just Washington or Oregon or California or wherever this program is heard, but I mean, all across the nation, they haven't really taken any action. They haven't. They've kind of acted like they're afraid to touch it because they don't want to get dragged out of their, you know, their penthouse or whatever, because they're suggesting that there could be problems with the voting system. But I encourage you to get that information and be personally informed, then share it with elected officials who will hopefully take action. You could also share the information with, it's several pages long, but I mean, it's very interesting. It is, it's very current. I mean, it's just out. I would also encourage you to share the information with family and friends, or you could forward the article that I published today. It contains that and other information in it. But try to get people over the next while, try to get people in elected office in your state, in your area, to at least take a look at this material. But let's take a closer look at the poll results. Heartland says the reasons behind the widespread voter fraud discovered in our survey are likely many and varied, but they share at least one commonality. Mail-in voter fraud was relatively easy to commit in many states in 2020. And unfortunately, the same is true today. Yeah, nothing has changed. That's the part of the problem. And it is rife for people messing around with the voting. In mostly mail-in elections, and that is, I believe, a curse. I know it was probably intended by some to be a blessing, but it's a curse in my mind. I know it helps some people. I know that the old grandmas and grandpas that can't get out and go to the place and vote, I understand all that, and I've seen the pictures of people standing for two blocks, you know, in the snow waiting to vote and all. I get that, and I hear all the time that the black are oppressed because the vote, if you don't have mail-in voting, you're oppressing the black and the minorities. I know a lot of blacks who say that's a bunch of nonsense. They say we're not oppressed because of mail-in voting, but that is the vehicle of choice for messing with elections. And that's why Obama and these guys are all over this all the time. They want America to be all mail-in voting because it can be manipulated. And it can be, and there's multiple evidences of that happening. In mostly mail-in elections, all the registered voters are sent a ballot in the mail, as you know. The voter marks the ballot, puts it in a secrecy envelope or sleeve, and then into a separate mailing envelope, signs an affidavit on the exterior of the mailing envelope, returns the package, and so on. Ballots are mailed out well in ahead of election day, and the voters have an election period, not just a single day to vote. That's where a lot of this nonsense goes on. That's where a lot of the corruption takes place in our voting franchise. Perhaps on both sides, but it takes place. Mostly mail-in elections can be thought of as absentee voting for everyone, but we don't have election day anymore. We have election period, and it's like a month or more. And that's where a lot of stuff goes on that ought not to be happening. There are 8 states that have, they're entirely by mail, they're voting. It's California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, and Washington, and the District of Columbia. They all allow elections to be conducted entirely by mail. There's 2 states, Nebraska and North Dakota. They permit counties to opt into conducting elections by mail. 9 states, Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Maryland, Missouri, Missouri, Montana, New Mexico, and Wyoming, they allow specific small elections to be conducted by mail. And there are 4 states, Idaho, Minnesota, New Jersey, and New Mexico. They permit mostly mail elections for certain small jurisdictions. That's kind of where we are today as far as our voting is concerned in the breakdown on the various states around the country. In the poll that is just released, 17% of mail-in voters admitted that in 2020 they voted in a state where they are no longer a permanent resident. 17%. 21% of mail-in voters admitted that they filled out a ballot for a friend or a family member. Now, that seems like a kind of a generous thing to do to help, you know, grandpa or grandma fill out their ballot, but it isn't legal to do that. I mean, you might suggest to them, but filling it out, taking the ballot and filling it out on their behalf, essentially is not legal. 17% of mail-in voters said they signed a ballot for a friend or family member with or without his or her permission. 19% of mail-in voters said that a friend or family member filled out their ballot in full or in part on their behalf. There are only two ways to ensure that mail-in fraud does not have a substantial impact on future elections. The first is simply to require that most people vote in person unless they have a good excuse, such as physical disability and so on. That would prevent someone from easily traveling. However, they warn, for instance, according to the Detroit News, Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, and she's mentioned in this study as an example, she instructed clerks who were matching signatures that they must perform their duties under the presumption that the signature is valid and uphold the signature's validity if there were more matching features than non-matching features. I mean, you think about that. I could talk about that for 10 minutes that I don't have, but think about that for a few minutes and think of the implication of that. That was one case in Michigan, but how many times was it repeated? These people say often and many places. Michigan is a tightly contested battleground state in which 3.3 million mail-in ballots were cast in the 2020 presidential election. Ultimately, they only rejected 20,480 ballots. That's 0.7% of all mail-in ballots submitted. Nobody believes that's in the business, believes that there could be that high a rate of accuracy. Nobody believes that. Jack McFerrin with the Heartland Institute, he said our survey clearly indicates that millions of voters, both Democrats and Republicans alike, are willing to vote illegally and even commit serious crimes to stop political opposition. More than one in four voters, 28%, said they will be willing to break election rules to help their presidential candidate of choice in the next election. That's concerning. As deeply troubled as these survey results are, however, the even bigger story is that state lawmakers have not put election integrity policies in place that will stop the cheating in 2024 and beyond. They've done nothing. I know they're afraid to. I mean, I understand. But if not them, who? They are the leaders. We need to put pressure on our state legislatures, because the state legislature, theoretically, under the Constitution, are the only ones that can change or modify the election rules. They were doing it in the last election. I mean, attorney generals and all these people were changing, and they said, well, COVID, COVID, COVID. But they were also clearing the way for things that ought not to be happening in an election. If state lawmakers do not succeed in getting better election integrity laws in place, Americans will cheat in 2024, and I mean both parties. They will. They've told this survey. They plan to, and they have in the past. Heartland Institute concludes that the results of this poll will hopefully galvanize state policymakers to craft legislation designed to ensure election integrity by vastly restricting mail-in voting. In turn, that legislation must be enforced to the greatest possible extent by states' executive branches. Failure to implement these solutions will allow our elections to become even more tainted by election fraud. I'll tell you, without secure elections, we will collectively lose faith in our electoral system in our republic will die with a whimper, not a bang. What should Christians do when the foundations are shaken like this? Well, as I said, we need to get on our elected officials. Please do what we elected you to do. But first we must get the right view of God and make a commitment to Him. We must stand on the rock in these troubling times in which we live. We should not flee from the battle, but we're called to stand up for what we believe biblically, to what we believe in the culture. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid, not angry, but just not be afraid to forcefully speak up and say, wait a minute, that's not right, and here's why. That's why we try to inform daily on this program and talk about the issues that are shaping our country as we speak. Moral issues. Issues of righteousness and unrighteousness, and how that affects every single person in this nation. We were blessed when we honored God, and now we have these things that are curses, like mail-in voting, just in general. It is a curse, in my view. We should refuse to give in to anxiety or fear of the unknown, but be confident in the Lord's presence. Look at all of this. Be informed. Know what's going on, but don't be afraid. Stand strong. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How shall ye in my soul flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. That shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Stand strong in the Lord, in the culture, and God will bless our efforts. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for your support. We need it. I'll see you right here tomorrow.